Hello.
Hey
guys, welcome back to a new episode of She's in a Pod. This is a Mother's Day special, and as you can see, we have two beautiful guests on our podcast today, and we are so excited.
We are so excited.
Say that again, Jen. You froze slightly.
Okay.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hello. You can hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay, cool. Perfect. I'm trying not to move too much because I've got gosh, guys, we're still recording virtually and it's just a whole mess behind the scenes sometimes. So basically my earphones aren't working properly, but we'll get through it. I just need to stop moving too much.
But yeah, all right, so we're going to introduce ourselves, then we're going to let our guests introduce themselves, then we're going to play a little game to warm up and, you know, get everyone excited and bubbly. But yeah, so guys, you all know me, I'm the one that tells you to rate us, review, leave five stars here, subscribe, all of that. So yeah, it's Shade or Shade, whichever one floats your boat.
And it's your girl Jen. I answer to all, but you know what, I quite like Jenny, so I might just stick with that for now. You never know, I might change it in the next episode, don't mind me. But everyone is well. Like Sade said, first of all, Bianca couldn't be here with us today. You know, she's come back from Ghana and she's just having a well-deserved rest, so we can't wait to have her back very soon. So, we have two lovely ladies with us right now. And do you know what? We would love you guys to introduce yourselves. I mean, yeah, you're just amazing. So, I'd love if you guys could just tell us a bit more about who you are. And, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Rochelle, I'll do it in the order that we did in our pod. I'm Rochelle, Mixy Girl Shells. I am Shells. I am a mummy. I am half of Mama Drama podcast. And I also have my own mummy blogging page. And yeah, we are busy. I'm a working mum. I don't know what else to say, but I'm literally flat out doing everything at the minute. So yeah, that's me.
And I'm Rax Raquel on our pod. I go by Rax with the Realness, and my out on stuff is Rax Real. It's like when we come up the pod, we're like, oh, what should our names be? Kind of thing.
We do the same, literally. We're just like, I don't know what to, I want to call myself like something catchy and snazzy, but it's just hard sometimes. So I'm just like Shadi or Shadi.
I think I put pressure on myself a bit in it, but I'm just, it's my reality. If anyone disagrees with it, that's their business. Yeah. But also, half of Mama Drama podcast. It is the clues in the title. We are mothers. It's a podcast all about parenting, not just parenting, also life. We talk a lot about life. We do a lot of relationship talk as well, because our listeners just love the relationship talk and like the relationship between men and women. We really try to like push boundaries as well, what we talk about. We've been going for nearly a year. We've spoken about like raising children in society today and what that means when it comes to LGBTQIA+, in terms of children wanting to be transgender and what else? Yeah, children want to be transgender and them teaching it in school curriculum. We've talked about, after Black Lives Matter, we went into a whole thing about race, race relations, mixed race baby fetish as well. We've literally been doing it all.
That's definitely relevant today, isn't it? Very, very apt for the season we're in.
And like Charles, I'm also a working mama, and we're on YouTube. We do vlogs. We've got our own YouTube channels. We're literally doing everything. But can I just say that I had a bit of an identity crisis when you guys introduced us. Charles, I don't know if you did, but she was like, it's a Mother's Day special. And I was like, I'm a mum, you know.
Honestly.
Oh my God.
Is that how it feels? Like sometimes you kind of like, oh my gosh, like you deep it. Like you're actually a mother. That's how I feel about my age sometimes. I'm just like, I'm actually 26. Yeah, no, like, that's almost 30. Like, I'm on the other side of 25 now.
Welcome.
So, I mean, we really wanted to get these lovely ladies on because we just wanted to discuss all things motherhood. We'll probably touch a bit about relationships as well and all the other fun stuff. We had some requests from some of our listeners to do an episode on this, and I just immediately thought of you guys because I love what you do. like Jen was saying before you joined the show, so she was just saying that I really just love all things motherhood. I'm not a mum yet, but I'm so intrigued.
About it so much nowadays.
I don't know what it is. I think I'm getting to the stage where I'm kind of ready, you know, I'm ready. Yeah. So let me learn and absorb all the information I can. I've even joined your Clubhouse chats as well about sex after childbirth and stuff. And I found it so interesting. Really interesting. But yeah, no, thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy you guys. But yeah, let's get straight into it. So Jen, over to you, girl.
Yeah. So we are going to start with something a bit lighthearted. It's something that we do, it's something that we do at every time we have a guest over, just to see, you know, what their thoughts are on certain topics, and it's called This or That. So we've got a couple of scenarios. Be as honest as you can be. It will be quite quick, so we don't give you too much time to think about the answers. I guess that's the whole point, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, just feel free to elaborate on certain things if you want to, and let's go for it. So the first this or that is Afrobeats or Bashment?
Oh, Afrobeats.
Afrobeats? Okay.
I do like Afrobeats though. It's close for me. Yeah. Afrobeats has started winning in the last like 3-4 years for me, but I do.
Afrobeats stay winning. So you're both saying Afrobeats?
No, I'm saying Bashment.
Oh, because
I'm saying Afrobeats.
Afrobeats, I love it. Yeah. What country are you both from?
I'm from St. Lucia in Trinidad, so Caribbean.
Okay.
And I'm Jamaican.
And you said Afrobeats, interesting.
I do like Afrobeats. Who doesn't like Afrobeats these days, you know?
No, it's true.
And there's like a fusion thing going on now as well, where even some of like the dancehall music sounds like it's Afrobeats. Afrobeats sound like it's Bashment.
Yeah. There's literally a song, Girl Policy, Popcorn featuring Tina Savage. That song is bae. I love Bashment as well, but Afrobeats has my heart always and forever.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Next one.
So, rice and peas or white rice?
White rice.
I'll say rice and peas.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know why, I like rice and peas, but sometimes, you know, when you have like the curry and the stew and everything, I feel like it's too much. So then I just opt for the plain white rice instead.
So you can enjoy the sauce more, yeah. I get that.
Cool. All right, so Instagram or Twitter?
Insta. I hate Twitter. Instagram. I hate it. I hate Twitter. I hate it.
Well, I can feel the passion.
Honestly,
I hate Twitter.
You mean that, yeah.
I mean it.
It is long. Twitter is long, to be honest. I mean,
Twitter is. It's very
juicy at times, but.
Yeah, it's a lot. There's a lot going on Twitter.
Too clouded, everyone's got something to say all the time.
Yeah,
like there's just too much words and it hurts my head. It's just like, can everyone just be quiet. And I like the pictures, like just share your life, share your pictures, and let's keep it moving. Everyone wants to be talking.
That is actually too funny. What about
you? I'm in the middle, it's the third one now. I'm in the middle for so many, it's really bad. I can be so indecisive. So Twitter, it can be like your morning newspaper. Like for me, when things have been happening around the world, it's just so easy to go in the search bar, type it in, and it's like you're on the ground with the people, finding out exactly what's happened. NSARS, put it in. People in the area are tweeting. It's like the best news thing for me. What I hate about it is exactly what Shell said. The chatting. Yeah. It's like people wake up ready to beef. Like, you could tweet the sky is blue and they'll be like, yeah, but only for 11 hours a day. And then the sun sets at this.
It's so true. People always want an opinion. They always want to sound like they're woke, like they've got some deep revelation that no one else has. It's just like, no one asked them.
We don't need to be arguing.
Yeah, and I just want to even throw in Clubhouse in the mix as well, because I do have mixed views about Clubhouse, to be honest. I think in a way it can be very informative. It's a great app if you want to have that proximity to like experts and communities and stuff like that. But I've seen the negative side of it too, and it's just like, it's just giving people even more bigger platform to just yap for no reason whatsoever.
Absolutely.
It depends how you use it.
Yeah. It's all about the people. It depends who joins and the kind of rooms that you choose to get into. So it's all relative. Yeah.
I've been in the ratchet room, I'm just going to say that, just to find out what's going on.
Sometimes you like a bit of goss, you know?
Why not? Exactly. Do you know what I love? I really hate that. Like, it shows you when, like, it shows people when you've gone into a certain room. I'm just like, listen, I just want to keep it private. Like, don't show them.
Proper shows your full name as well. Like, you know, you want to kind of just hide, like, you're not really supposed to be here, but you're here.
Just listening, like, I'm only listening. I just want to see what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But yeah. Okay, next. All
right. So, Prime or Netflix? Amazon Prime or Netflix?
Ooh, today I feel like Amazon Prime's winning for me at the minute.
Same.
Yeah.
They have on there lately. Top notch Snowfall. I'm hooked. I am hooked.
It's Snowfall, isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought it was on Disney Plus. Oh, nice.
It was on iPlayer for me. That's when I first saw it. iPlayer.
Yeah, like there's just so many different things that you can watch on Prime, whereas Netflix, it has to be like Netflix movies. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I do like Netflix though. I do.
Yeah, well, but it's getting a bit boring or played out.
Because everything is, yeah, you could just watch everything on Netflix these days. But it's just like, we want new stuff. We want something else.
But they lie as well. You know when you like type in a movie and they make you think they've got it. And then when you get there, it's like a movie they think are like it.
That's the worst.
Your alternative.
It's actually the worst. Because it will proper come up as well. Like, it'll come up like you're actually going to get the... Nah.
What is this, Netflix or Prime? I'll still say Netflix for now because I haven't watched that much on Prime lately. I don't think I've watched that much on Prime. Is The Godfather of Harlem on Prime? I think I've seen
that. I think it is.
It is
on Prime.
I'll still say Netflix for now. But I'm watching Now TV at the moment. I like Now TV. Is that Hey You? I think I've got Hey You on there.
Hey You.
Real Housewives really easily. There's something called Your Honor as well, a series that I've started watching. It's been good as well. So yeah, Now TV's coming.
Okay.
Disney Plus is good as well. Very, very good.
Okay.
But how much are we spending on all these subscription apps? Is this getting out of hand now?
This is the thing. They all want our money. And it seems like a little, but actually when it's £10 here, £7, £8 there, it's all adding up.
Mm-hmm. Only,
we're spending £50. But yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Reels or TikTok?
TikTok.
Reels. I'm not even on TikTok.
Oh, okay.
No, Justin.
I'm not on TikTok. I'm like, how many flipping apps do we actually need to indulge in? Like, one app, this app, this app. I can't do it. It's too many apps.
And there's even new apps emerging.
And
now
there's more apps coming. Yeah, like, should I be on every single app? No.
We're showing our age.
I don't mind.
How old are both of you? Do you guys say your age usually?
Yeah, I'm 28, but I have to think about it because I always forget.
Oh,
I still think I'm 26.
Oh my gosh, you're so young.
Yeah.
What about you, Shells?
I'm 28 as well.
Oh, you guys are pretty young. I don't know why I just assumed you'd be older because you have children. That's such a bad stereotype.
Massive.
Like, yeah, she's saying we look old, damn. I didn't go on TikTok really until recently. I'm not an active user. I'm not like creating content. But a few weeks ago, I was just consuming and it was just so much fun. Like, it's just a good time. If you say like Twitter's bad vibes, Insta's bad vibes, not bad vibes. It's just hilarious. And they got all these different spaces. There's like workout TikTok, recipe TikTok.
Skincare TikTok. Yeah. There's a lot. You can learn a lot of it.
It's just really fun, man.
All right, let's go next.
Height or beard in terms of like the guy?
It has to be the height. I'm sorry.
Makes that a choice thing. Like, what's wrong with you, girl?
If you had to choose one,
height.
Jen, what would you choose? Height.
Height, for sure. I mean, I feel like I'm quite tall anyways. I mean, I'm 5'8", so I just, I need that height.
Yeah. Interesting.
I mean, that's an extra thing.
What about you, Sade?
What about you?
So, the reason I didn't answer is because, for some reason, I attract medium-heighted guys all the time. I don't know why. I'm not tall, so I'm like 5'3½". So I'm not tall myself. Still.
That's height abusive.
Sometimes you want to just look up and just, you know, tiptoe to your man.
You know what? I've got a problem with short people like you, you know? I do.
Honestly, I don't know. You guys always say, people always say this, that, oh, you're short. Why do you want a tall man? Because we do.
I know, but what are you leaving for us tall women? Like,
exactly. Are you guys tall? How tall are you guys?
I'm 5'9".
Okay. Yeah, that's relatively tall for a girl, I suppose. What about you, Shells?
I don't know my height, but I'll say I'm average height. Just average.
Average height.
So a 6 foot guy to me is like maybe is what, 3 inches above me. Okay, so a 6 foot guy to 5'3" you, 5'6". Why do you need the 6 footer? Why?
But it's cute. Why? We're wearing heels, and the height difference will still be, you know.
And then you've got the short men, they're all coming to look for the tall girl because all the short girls are taken. It's a distorted economy.
Oh, gosh. That's so true, though. But yeah, I mean, if I had to choose, it would be height. Yeah, it would be height.
I mean, I do love a beard, though.
No, yeah, I love a beard too, but you can grow a beard. You know, it's like do you know what I mean? It's there anyway. You can, or you can buy it. These days, you can buy it.
Yeah, you can buy it.
You know? There you go. Yeah, okay, the last one, I'm interested. Go on.
All right, so this is the last one. So either you get 100K now, or you bet on £1 million for that, do the lottery with a 50% chance of winning. So would you rather have a 50% chance of winning £1 million or have £1,000 right now?
£100,000, yeah.
I think I'll take 100. No, I would take the 100.
I'm a risky person sometimes, so I might try the 50% chance of 100, like £1 million. Yeah, 50, like, come on, 50%, that's a high stake.
But then you also
have 50% chance of losing.
Yeah, that's
fine. And then you have nothing.
Yeah, I have nothing. It was never my
choice. There's
no harm in trying.
That's a great coping mechanism.
That's a good point. You wouldn't
lose
it now.
Nothing.
Yeah, because it actually wasn't yours to begin with. So it's not like you had it and then you're losing it. You just don't get it.
I just don't get it.
Fair enough. Interesting.
I'm going to change my answer now, because it always used to be the other one.
I know, same, because I'm just like, oh, let me just at least get the 100K, even if I don't, you know what I mean? Interesting. But yeah, okay, ladies, so we're going to get straight into it. So I hope that warmed you up. It's quite interesting that both of you had quite different opinions. I like that.
Yeah.
I do like that. But yeah, so, okay, so what ages did you both have your children or child? How old were you both?
I was 26 when I gave birth.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
I think I had just turned... Am I lying? I can't do much right now. So I was 26 when I gave birth as well. We would have been pretty much the same. So 26.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And were you, were you ready at that age? Like, how did you, because I feel like I'm 26 now, but I feel like a baby, like an actual baby. So I feel like I'm reading it. So I don't know, how was that for you? What was that experience like?
Ooh, I mean,
who wants to go first? Because you both did the face, like,
yeah, like, was I ready? Absolutely not. It was like, I would say probably the worst time ever. I was planning my wedding. So it was just the worst timing ever. Like, I wasn't ready for it. It wasn't planned. I didn't sit there and say, yep, I'm going to get myself pregnant. I'm ready to have a baby. We're ready to, to be a big family.
Yeah.
It wasn't that at all. So it was like the worst timing ever. But in terms of maturity, like, I'm having sex, so it is kind of what it is. I know that a baby could result in that. I'm on contraception or wasn't on contraception. I was taking risks. Do you know what I mean? I was in a relationship. It's healthy. So I think in terms of maturity, was I mature enough to have the baby at 26? Yeah, I would say so.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. What about you, Hel?
Not planned. I was a baby girl living my best life. I'm thinking, did I feel grown at the time? I didn't feel like young, but I wasn't planning on having a baby then at all. Like, I thought I wouldn't have a baby until like maybe 31, 32, 33.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't, I didn't think, oh, I'm going to have a baby before I reach 30 at all. I was just working. I weren't like career over family. It just wasn't like a high priority for me. My biological clock wasn't ticking in my head. I was just like, when it happens, and it probably ain't going to happen for now. And then boom, it happened. So, you know, it was like adjust and sort things out. I wasn't in like a terrible position for it either. So I was quite able and I just adjusted and kind of cracked on with it. But it was a huge surprise.
Do you know what? Because like, even now, because I compare myself from when I was maybe like in my early teens and wondering at what age would I start a family, and I'd always said, oh yeah, I'll start a family at 21. I mean, I was very naive at the time. I was like 21, 22, being a young mom and everything.
Yeah.
Fast forward, I'm now 25, and I feel like each time I age, the age goes up and up and up. I mean, it happens, so what can I do? So, but for me, I always think as well, like, the older I get, the more I'm trying to like find myself, and I'm trying to see what I like and what I don't like, and I've kind of got a plan of how I want my life to go. So for you guys, it seemed like it was quite unexpected. So at any point did you feel, I mean, you've already said that you kind of just got on with it, but at any point did you kind of feel like, oh my God, like, now I totally need to replan my entire life, and what do I do now career-wise, and even in terms of, like, you know, taking care of a baby and maybe changing, like, where you've got to live and all that kind of stuff. Like, how was that for you both?
It's a lot, because, I mean, at first you're like, I mean, guys, they're not going through the physical the physical aspects of giving birth and having the whole pregnancy and the journey. So I feel like guys have their own little excitement, like, yeah, I'm going to be a dad. And they're excited in that way. And then, like, I think it starts getting realer and realer the further along you get in your pregnancy. Like, you can actually, when you see the bump, when your clothes aren't fitting you, it's just like, okay, yeah, life is changing, and it's changing real fast. Like, I need to start planning a nursery. Do you know how many times I was asked, have you got his cot? Have you got your what is it called again, Max? Your bag ready for the hospital?
Oh, your hospital bag.
Oh, the hospital bag.
People can be so annoying.
Like, have you done this? Oh, you need to make sure you're doing this. This needs to be ready. And it's just like, you got 1,001 things that you're trying to make sure your finances are together. You know, where you're gonna lay your head at night. You need to make sure your maternity is sorted. There's just so many things that you have to think about because you're preparing for another life. It's crazy.
I can only imagine. Because I could just imagine the kind of like first thoughts, like, okay, money, how am I going to look at, how am I going to fend for this child, where are we going to live, all of that. What about your career? How did it fit in with your career? Has it like propelled you in your career, or like, yeah, how did that kind of work, and what do you do as well, both of you, if you don't mind me asking, like, what do you do career-wise, or are you self-employed? What's your story?
I guess we're self-employed with a podcast. But aside from that, or before, yes, I work in policy, so I'm a policy advisor. And career-wise, it definitely changed my trajectory, because you're taking time off work to have this baby, and your ability to work whilst you're pregnant, it might be impaired, it might not be. For me, it was impaired. I had like quite serious migraines throughout. I took a lot of time off work because my head was literally just banging, maybe due to hormones. And then you have your maternity leave, whether that's 3 months, 6 months, a year. that's time where you're out the game. That's time where you're not making moves you would have otherwise been able to make. Yeah. So had I not had my daughter, I could have had X amount of promotion. But that time out, it affects things. It does affect things. Doesn't mean you can't come back and go hard, but you can end up being behind compared to peers who you left when you went on maternity leave. It's not always a bad thing, but it's something to just be aware of. Your maternity leave can impact your career. And also when you go back as a mother, whereas maybe before you could put all the hours in under the sun because you could and you had no responsibilities, when you now have someone else depending on you, or whether that's a child or a partner, your ability to be slaving away just ain't the same. Like, you can still do it, but you'll just reach your burnout a lot sooner than you would have beforehand. So it does change things, but it by no means has to be the end of you and the end of your career. And I do think that becoming a mother has helped me to level up in some respects. Like, I'm better at multitasking, maybe I've got a bit more patience. So you do gain skills along the way, and it's just you recognizing your growth and your changes and using it to your advantage.
I love that, because a lot of women do say that, you know, once you have children, so basically it's either that, you know, as a woman you kind of have to choose between your career or having a child. And it's just like, why can't we have both? You know, why can't we kind of do both together? I know it's probably easier said than done, but when I do look at some career women, I do notice that they either have children like really early and kind of get it out of the way, or a lot later. So like in their like mid-40s, late 40s, because they want to kind of build on their career first and then have children. So I don't know, do you think that women do have to choose between their career or having or starting a family? Like, do you think it's one or the other?
I think, well, yeah, going back to, I'm a social worker. So you would think that working in health and social care, they're more family orientated, they would understand the needs of having a family and having a child, but they don't. They don't care. It's all about girls, it's all about meeting targets, it's all about making sure things are done. Luckily, I'm at a more senior level where I don't have to be doing the groundwork, and I can literally just be saying, okay, you do that, you do this, you do that.
So delegate it.
But even still, that has its own pressures. I think in terms of like having both and doing both, it's really hard. And I think that sometimes even in the mummy world, there's a massive divide as to stay at home mums or mums who work, or there's a massive divide, and the divide is massive. Like, you're a stay at home mum, or she's a working mum. And then I don't know, I think both have their own pros and cons, and both you might feel a sense of guilt either way. If you're a stay-at-home mom, oh my gosh, should I be out working, catching the queens so I can give my child the best start in life? And if you're a working mom, oh my gosh, am I spending too much working for somebody else, and then neglecting my home, neglecting my family because I'm working 9 to 5? Ultimately, I just say it boils down to what you want to do as an individual, what works for your dynamics, what works for your family. And I think it is, a lot of women do work and they still have children. You just have to either take a break out, you have your maternity, you just have to do what was best. If you can afford to have a nanny, if you've got childcare options and people are there to support you, utilize your support network.
That's it. A lot of it depends on your support network and what you're able to do, because childcare ain't cheap. If you have to send your child to the nursery or childminder, it is not cheap. So essentially, a lot of what you can do in the child's first few years of life before they go to school or get their 3 hours of childcare depends on how much you're earning, your expenses, and your support network. And what's really cool now about the internet age is that a lot of these mums or people in general, they're just making money off the internet. So even if you're like a stay-at-home mum or you're not working for someone, you might be able to whip up a share butter and sell that on Instagram. So there are other ways that people are able to make OnlyFans.
but it's true
money online without actually going out to work for someone from 9 to 5. So it depends what the mum wants at the end of the day.
Very true. I've definitely seen a rise in the whole mum bloggers / vloggers and things like that. I mean, like I said, I follow a lot of them because I'm just so intrigued. So I've definitely seen a rise, because I don't feel like it was this much when I was a bit younger. I don't feel like it was a thing. Like, even, you know, women kind of glamorizing their pregnancies and doing all these shoots and making it all seem glamorous and pretty, which I'm sure it's a beautiful experience, but I know it comes with its challenges. But Michelle's face is like, it's all for the gram.
It's nice though, the bloggers, because it's like, maybe I didn't follow anyone when I was pregnant, but if I was like a younger person now or someone who's fallen pregnant, I would go to bloggers, see what they got to say. That's one of the reasons we started our podcast. We're like, what's there for us to listen to going on this journey? So we were like, okay, let's do something.
Yeah, I like that. Go on, Jen.
Is there anything like you feel like you wish you knew beforehand, before getting pregnant and everything? Like, is there anything that you wish you knew then that you know now?
Yes. That my child will say my name 24/7. That I will not be able to sleep during the night, that I would literally be taught, like, my hands, I've got about 29 hands, like, so it shows, can you help me do this? Mummy, the dishes need doing, the floor needs hoovering, this needs to be done, that needs to be done. So for me, it's literally about knowing that I'd be needed in so many different places and they're all at once. There's not a break, there's no respite I'm going to bed and I'm sleeping, and even then I'm sure I can hear Lucas in my dream, seriously. Honestly, it's not a joke.
Do you know what? I heard this lady in my church, oh my gosh, she has two daughters, she was just like, she tries to just go to the toilet and shut the door to just have me time. She said her daughters follow her in the toilet, like they follow her in, mummy, and she's just like, please. Another one, she woke up at 5 a.m. to get some work done, all her children woke up and started joining her. she said I want to throw them out of the window.
It can be like that. And you don't know how you're going to react until you're in it, because our experiences, people will relate to it, of course, but it's not universal. Like, there are women out there who live, breathe it. They were born to do this and they don't mind having someone twiddle their nipples all day long. Whereas me, I stopped breastfeeding a year ago and my child still finds my boobs and it drives me up the wall. It drives me mad. And I'm trying to think anything else I wish I knew. I feel like I slept before and I enjoyed my sleep, but if I knew how much sleep I'd lose in like the first year, I would have slept even more. Like, I would have tried to enjoy my sleep even more.
Honestly, the amount of sleep, like Lucas woke up, I heard him crying like at 5 o'clock. I said, no, I'm not moving. You're staying in your cot by like, tonight I'm not doing it, because I'm always the one to get up. I'm not doing it today. And then he woke up again at 7. So for me, from 5 to 7, I'm literally wide awake. How am I going to go back to sleep now, especially for like a light sleeper? It's impossible. Yeah, so I've lost 2 hours of sleep. Now I'm tired whilst I'm working from home. I couldn't even work from home. I was so tired. Mash up.
Yeah. I've definitely heard about that.
There's a clip that's on your Instagram page where you describe, I think someone asked, how do you juggle everything? And you described it as being like a clown in a circus, juggling balls and everything. And I don't know, for me, it's a bit scary. But like you said, you don't know how you would react to, you know, taking care of a baby and everything. Obviously, it depends on your support network. But at any point, did you have like a oh shoot moment? Like, even for me right now, someone calling me mom would freak me out. I'd be like, what do you mean?
No, literally, like, oh my gosh, I actually have to look after you.
Yeah, it's
like,
just
cook for you, realizing
that it sounds so surreal to me right now. So did you have any moment at any part, whether it's during your pregnancy, like feeling the baby kick and whatnot, did you have like any realization of, oh my gosh, this is real, this is actually happening?
Well, I gave an example when you were like, it's Mother's Day and here we have.
Yes.
So it happens, but you'll be surprised at how much we adapt as women. Like, as much as we might complain or we get tired every so often, we take it in our stride. It's not like it's doom and gloom all the time. Like, they're amazing. The kids are amazing. They make you laugh. It's great watching them grow. But yeah, you'll be. It is essentially like juggling. I'm hoping we're not scaring people of motherhood by sharing our truth. But it can feel like, because you guys, ladies, before we came on, we said you guys are like, oh, you're tired from your work. So we're working too. So imagine like working, that's your one ball, looking after yourself or your house, that's your other ball. Then you've got the kids, you've got your house, you've got whoever you're dealing with intimately, etc. It racks up.
It's a lot. But, yeah. I feel like as women, we really are superhuman. Like, we really actually are. Like, it's not even just something that sounds pretty or just sounds cute to say, but it really, we really are. We really, really, mm-hmm. really are. So how old are both of your children? Just for some context for our listeners.
My one's going to be 2 next week on Tuesday. I can't believe it.
Wow. What whole 2-year-olds? What about you, Raquel?
My daughter's 2. She turned 2 in January. And this is so cliche to say, but the girl moves like a big woman. And I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. I'm like, you've only been here 2 years on this earth. And you're moving like you've been here from, I don't know, 1999. It's just a lot. It's a lot.
They do. And I feel like children are even growing up faster these days because they're exposed to so much more, like way more. I don't know, do you still kind of take your children to go out and play in like the mud and sand and stuff? I don't know if that's even a thing anymore, because I just feel like now it's all iPads and, you know, TV and just movies. How do you kind of
that's a good one, because the thing is, Lucas, I believe his attention to wanting to play with like actual toys for kids is very short. But when it comes to instruments that he shouldn't be touching, he's all over it. With regards to the iPad, though, honestly, like, he's actually glued to it. Like, that's the first thing he'll ask for as soon as he comes in. Like, iPad, mummy, iPad. And I'm just like, you've just stepped through the door. Or TV. He wants to watch the TV as soon as he wakes up. I don't know. I don't know if it's necessarily a good thing. At the beginning, I was like, nah, he's not having any screen time. No, but I'm going to be very firm with it. But then the first lockdown came and I was like, I can't do this working from home, him being there, like, pulling on me. No, here's the iPad. And then from there, it's literally just thingy. But I try to keep him active, like, try and keep him outside, go in the garden, go to the park. Like, he'll do what he likes to do. Like, Lucas is very stubborn, a bit like me. He'll do what he wants to do for however long he wants to do it. And then he'll revert back to what he was doing before. But I just think it's about a balance.
Nice. That makes sense. But yeah, what's the... Rax, I don't know if you had anything else you wanted to add on that for us. My next question.
I take her outside. I try to make her do like the usual kiddie stuff. Okay. And I was very much anti-screen time as well, because I was hella paranoid. I don't know why, but when I was pregnant, I'm a loser. I was Googling things, and they were like,
oh my gosh,
a lot of screen time in the early years, like, increases links to autism. So I was very much like, when she was young and like people want to give her the TV, I'm like, what for? She's a baby. She really doesn't need this. She doesn't need this. But as she's got older and as I've needed to do things, I've literally needed a break, I will put on a show. But I do try to be conscious about like how much it is. So if I know she's watching it for like an hour to 2 hours, it will go off and it's like, go find a book. I'm like, I'm an old woman, go find a book, go play your toys, go so I do try and break it up, but it can absolutely be a saving grace. Like, when you just need a breather, it's like,
no, of course, like, on.
So like,
so when we were in church physically, I would see like moms with like young children and their children be running up and down, and they're literally getting up every second to chase them, and then as soon as they give them like a phone or iPad, they're calm. And I get it, because it's just like, am I really going to be running up and down trying to chase this child for the whole of the 2-hour service? So I actually when I see it, I'm just like, moms just need a break sometimes to just think. So I really do get it. But yeah, so let's switch the gear a bit. So like I said, I was in your clubhouse room, you're talking about sex after childbirth. So what's that like? I just want to know, what is it like? Has it changed? Is it more, was it painful at first? Was it, how was that experience after? I'm so intrigued. And I don't even think it matters on the type of and I don't even think it matters on the type of childbirth it was, whether it was a C-section or natural. I'm sure either one will still have an impact.
Which ones did you guys get, C-section or natural?
My birth was a bit, although it was vaginal, he had to be sucked out because I couldn't, his head was turned. I couldn't, well, they were saying, if you don't push, well, I could push, but he just wasn't coming out. So they tried forceps, which are like big scissors, and they're like that. So they put that inside and they tried to drag the baby out, but that didn't work. So I just want you guys to know they're literally like that. And then, They were like, no,
you're taking us there. You are literally taking
you with me, okay? And then there was this suction thing that they put on the baby's head, and then they literally just like pull the baby out. So that's why, and that also had to be cut as well. It's called an episiostomy. So they cut your.
I've heard about that. Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So. I've heard about that.
Yeah. Oh, do you know what? Okay. I'm not very aware of the different types of births. I only know, like, okay, you push out or C-section. But it's interesting to hear, like, even the suction. I've heard about forceps as well, but I'm sure, like, there's other ways as well. Is it true? I mean, I've heard about the Ring of Fire. Is that a thing?
What's that?
When what? The head crowns, so when it's literally ready to, like...
Is that a good thing or what? Like, is that good?
You're close to the end, but it does feel, it's like a burn. It's like a burn because it's like stretch. Have you ever like put something in your mouth a bit and that you stretched your mouth and there has
stretched.
Imagine your mouth fully extended. Like,
that would hurt.
Coming out of your mouth. So yeah, there's a bit of a sting whilst the head's there until it pops out.
Okay.
But we're surviving.
Okay. Yes, you are surviving. Yes, you have survived.
You can do this.
Oh, I'm still gonna do it by God's grace. I'm ready. So what was that like afterwards? After you gave birth and stuff, what was that experience like? Were you prepared for it? Had you heard about what the experience would be like?
I was excited to get back into it. So they advised waiting, was it 6 weeks? I think I waited eight. But I wanted to know what it was going to be like, you know? So I was ready before my partner was. He was probably still scared, but I was like, yeah. And then to prepare myself, I was doing like Kegels like throughout my pregnancy and after. So it's like pelvic floor exercises to try and make sure the muscles aren't just like... Because you can be paranoid. You push the baby's head out, you don't know what that's going to be like. It could be like black hole tunnel.
I was thinking, is it going to be like loose? Like, is it going to be like loose and just like all like not just yeah? Like,
well, we've heard mixed feedback on that, because we thought it went back, it goes back perfectly. But when we had the clubhouse, some of the guys are like saying, it doesn't quite the same. But we didn't know that until they said it. So maybe people are just being nice to us and make us feel okay.
Who knows? Oh my gosh.
How it felt. I feel like my thing's been more alive since. I do. That could be really strange. But in terms of like frequency of sex, that just goes all the way down. Yeah. And that's not just, is that my sex drive? I think my sex drive was still quite high and I still like got it in here and there. But when that tiredness sets in, I'm not feeling very freaky. If I mean, motherhood exposed me to new levels of tiredness, and when I hit my levels of tiredness, which are really deep, I can't even move. There are points where I'll just fall asleep by like 10, 9, watching something, and my body is like a log.
Actually tired, worn out.
Yeah, and also if you're beefing or you're mad because you don't feel like they're not pulling their weight, then also you might just not be on. Or you just might not be on it. But I wouldn't say sex has been shit for me. It's just frequency changes depending on what's going on.
Okay, interesting.
And like I just told you guys, I had the episiostomy, my birth was traumatic, I had stitches after, I had antibiotics which I had a bad reaction to, so the skin was all peeling from my waist down, like in my vaginal area, everything was just peeling. I had rashes, like it was just all mad. So for me, in my head, I was like, no one is not touching me, God himself is not going in that region. I can't even use the toilet, like I'm scared to use the toilet, let alone to insert or allow something to insert them. So I didn't even want the midwife to look at me when she came to visit and do the new home birth visit. I was like, she's like, no, it'll be fine. I was like, no. So I really extended that 6 weeks. I was like, no, it's not happening. I extended it 3 months. I was like, it's not happening. And then it's just like, okay, it got to the point where I was like, okay, I feel like I'm mugging it now. I can move around a bit. I'm doing what I need to do. Yeah. Like, let's just see what happens. And I actually remember we actually had sex, and I sent a picture to my friend, and we do this sort of thing. I sent a picture, I was like, we actually had sex, guys. And they were like, in terms of like how it felt though, I feel because they stitched me back up, it was, there was like a little friction to get back in, like, so it felt a bit tired for me. But since then, it's just like, I don't know, I feel like it's just kind of gone back to normal.
Did it hurt? Like, initially, like,
yeah, at first I was like, and then it kind of wasn't, it wasn't too bad, because I was like, okay, you've just given birth, like, you've pushed the whole baby out. Nothing's ever gonna compare to the pain that I felt.
Okay.
So yeah, it wasn't too bad. And then, like what Rax was literally just saying, honestly, I feel like my sex drive has gone down. I analyze it all the time. My sex drive has gone down. Like, I feel like things have changed, like, in terms of what turns me on now. I think it's to do with your hormones. Like, your hormones are still all over the place, and you're still trying to find yourself. And there was one point, even after I had stopped breastfeeding, there was still milk coming out of my boobs. So it's just like,
oh my god.
Yeah, like, if I pinched my boob, milk was still squirting out. So it's like, your hormones are still all over the place. Yeah. So for me, it's just like, no, if I'm not feeling like sex or in the mood, I'm not having sex. Like, there's nothing you can pay me. I can't force it. I'm not one of those people that can fake it. But if and when it happens, it happens. And
the
milk, you remind me of something. When it would be your boobs start leaking. Well, mine started leaking from the breastfeeding during sex. Like, the bed sheet would be wet, so I'd have to get breast pads to put in my bra, because your boobs are leaking, because breastfeeding is breastfeeding is all very hormonal. It's all like your endorphins, whatever, your happy hormones that are being released, which gets your let down, your milk flowing. It's the same, it's the same stuff. That's why they say, like, say, like, sex brings on labor and all that, whatever. So yeah, doing it, and the things are just leaking, bed sheets dripping, sweet milk everywhere. Literally put pads in. Oh my gosh. Oh my god, what is this?
Wow.
You don't normally hear about, to be honest,
like,
all that kind of stuff. You don't really hear about that.
That's so interesting.
It happens.
I can't wait. When we have children, well, for me, I will be coming to you guys for, I'll ask you guys everything. Yeah. Like, guys, this is happening.
Come through.
Is this normal? I'm experiencing this. Is this right? Like, should I be worried?
Come through. We're here for all of that.
Thank you. No, honestly, it's so insightful to just hear about your experiences. I love it. Jen, I don't know if you have any more questions. I have a couple more.
So you both spoke about what briefly mentioned your partners. So I'm just wondering, like, after giving birth, how do you balance, you know, in a relationship, being a mother, being parents, and still making sure you still got time for the both of you, and, you know, it's all balanced? Like, it does, what's the reality?
Yeah. That's a good one.
I'm going to be very honest, and I know a lot of men, I think men have this complex when the baby comes, it's like, you've chosen the baby over me. And I definitely do think that women, mothers can put a lot of emphasis into our newfound maternal instincts, and we're really bonding with the baby, and then they grow up and they grow up, but we're still putting a lot of time into the baby. Everything's for Cass, everything's for Lucas. Oh, Lucas wants to do this. So I do. And then with everything else I'm doing, it's just like, okay, sometimes I know I'm taking the mic. I just need to put my phone down and just say, come, let's chill, let's watch a movie. Or he'll say it, because you're on your phone all the time. Then you're with Lucas all the time. Where do I fit in, sort of thing. So I think, I feel in that sense, men are big babies. They're babies.
Yeah, like, I've heard. Yeah, no, they literally are like big babies.
They're babies.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
so I've
yeah.
got two kids, two boys.
Big baby.
And some deal with it better than others. Like, some take it really bad, and some can be just fine. But I think, I'll pretty much, that shows, like, when in the early stages, I don't have time for anything else. I ain't got no energy for anything else. I'm trying to keep someone alive. I'm sorry.
That is true.
I'm trying to survive right now. And it can be hard because there's postpartum depression, there's baby blues. Like, you could be genuinely depressed and stressed or anxious or just feeling terrible. Like, you can feel really terrible due to those big hormone fluctuations, whereby you're still like getting to grips with this new you, the change of identity, looking after someone else, and to have to like be able to please someone else 24/7, it can be very hard. So it's something that you have to make, well, I personally have to make a conscious effort to do, and also I've been terrible at it too, especially if we're doing so many other stuff, like it can fall down the list, especially if they're not being like nice or helping out, then you just drop even further down. So it's like, you know.
Yeah, I know,
it's important to make a conscious effort to make sure you're dividing your time appropriately so everyone feels, you know, attended to. But it's hard to do because you need attending to yourself, and you just might be
like, who looks up, who pampers you, who makes you, do you know what I mean? Like, I guess,
but also about, it's not forever, like, they're only really they're only really small independent for, you know, a small period of time, but can everyone survive that? Who knows, innit?
That's the thing. You don't know. Okay, so what about like your friendship groups as well? Because I would imagine, especially being in your 20s or even your 30s, to be honest, I guess everybody's at different points in their lives. Some people are married, some people have kids, some people don't. So has it ever changed like the dynamic? Because, I mean, obviously, from what I would imagine, you wouldn't be spending as much time with your friends as you would have before, maybe going clubbing and all that kind of stuff. Has that changed at all? Or, but I'm also bearing in mind the pandemic, which what do you think about that? Like, do you feel like it's a lot different, or that they're able to adapt? How they've been receptive to that?
That's a good question. I think I'm quite a straight up person, so I said to my friends, guys, you ain't going to see me. No one should invite me anywhere because you're not going to see me. I know I'm going to be tired. Like, I'm naturally tired anyway. And then with a baby, I know I'm going to be tired. So, yeah, you're not going to see me. They took it well. They were okay with that. I try and make sure that I message my friends, like, and check in on them as much as I can, because we have that type of relationship. We talk as much as possible, just because I don't want you to feel like, because I've got a child, or because I'm no longer that available, you can't get in contact with me or whatever. I don't know, people might have, you know, different perceptions of like what the friendship entails, whatever. So I always try to make sure I'm there when I can be, but equally they're also understanding. They know, like, Shells is a mum now, she's got responsibility, she's doing this, she's either cooking, she's doing that, so on and so forth. But the fact then for me, another thing is, because I'm on social media a lot of the time, it's not going to hurt me to pick up my phone and message. So I'm just like, okay, yeah, Michelle, pull yourself together and just message or FaceTime that person and whatever. And they're all so involved with that already. I'm getting messages, what are we getting for Lucas, blah blah blah. So
that's lovely.
Really changed.
What about you, Ricardo? Did anything change for you?
Ours were born pre-pandemic, so we could still go out. It was obviously a lot less. I remember, like, my first out with my girls, that was just so much fun. It was like just a big hurrah, getting ready, going out. But obviously, it's not like an every weekend thing anymore, because, you know, got things to do. But and no one else really had kids, so it was different. And I'd say my ability to keep in contact as much before has definitely changed, because I thought emotionally spent, like, I don't even have the capacity. And it can get really bad. Like, shortly before coming on here, I had a bit of a breakdown. One of my friends, she messaged me in, like, I think like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and sometimes I can be very slow at getting back to messages because my phone, at any one time there can be like 30 chats that are active, and for me it can just be a lot doing it, everything else. It can be a lot for me. So things, and we, with this friend, we speak like intermittently anyway, so when we link up it's always fine, but we can, due to both our lifestyles, weeks can pass without us like touching base. So she messaged me like 2 weeks ago. This morning I finally got time to sit down and be like, oh, let me message her back, see how she's doing. And when I last spoke to her, like, her grandma was unwell, but she made it was like early stages of cancer, and I was quite close to her grand, so I thought, oh yeah, she's gonna be fine, on the road to recovery. So in my message I'm like, how's your gran? A few hours later she messaged back, she's like, she's passed away. And I literally broke down because I felt just like shit. I just felt I still feel bad now. Like, I just felt so I thought, honestly, terrible. But at the time I've been doing so much and going through so much that I wasn't able to message her. But I still have that guilt of like not being able to check on people as much, but that's because my own plate feels heavy enough as it is. So it can be really hard. It can be hard. She's really understanding, but I still in myself feel absolutely terrible.
Yeah, of course.
Get that, girls. I think just in general, the older you get, the more things will change, and the more people will need to adapt around each other's life choices and things that, you know, have changed in their lives. And, you know, as long as, because you both seem like you would, you know, you are intentional about reaching out to your friends, but obviously life gets in the way sometimes. I think it's good that you've got a circle of friends that are understanding. And I think for those who don't have that, you know, supportive network, I can't imagine what that's like. I mean, do you have any advice for someone who's maybe going through this alone and feels that, you know, feels guilty about not being in contact with friends and they don't have a supportive network as you have right now?
I would say it's hard, but I would say with anything in life, there's always give and take. So I can't expect others to just give, and I always take. I have to do some giving too. I think friendships, relationships, they can always be amended, that you can always work on something with someone. Like, life's too short to have any grudges and stuff like that. So if your friend, like, means something to you, or you've had a really good relationship and you know you've been bogged down with motherhood, being transparent, just say, look, like, I'm going through it right now. Just be real with them and just say, like, I know I'm not always going to be able to go out, you know, or have those conversations that we did until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, but I'm here if you ever need me, and vice versa. Just so they know what level you're on, and what can they do? They're not going to kill you. Like, you've just pulled your heart out. You've said what it is, and you guys keep it moving. So I just think extending the olive branches and just putting yourself out there as well. Like, your friends can't always come to you. Relationships are give and take.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. And some people will be down and they'll be understanding, and others will not be. And, you know, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. Not everyone's the same. Like, I had one friend and she really wanted me to, like, pay for something or do something. And under ordinary circumstances, I would have done it, but my money's set up different now. Like, my financial priorities have changed. And you'll have people who will get that, and you'll have people who won't, because they feel entitled to your cash and your time. And it's like, life has unfortunately changed now. Well, unfortunately for you, it's changed now. So it's no hard feelings towards you. Like, it's not, I don't love you any less or like you any less. Life has just changed. So you have people who absolutely get it and some that don't, and just hopefully in time they will. But in the meantime, and if you're looking for friends, we always say this, social media is a good place. As you said, all the mums are out hashtagging mother this, mother that. Search the hashtag.
Because I guess I'm sure, especially like for friendships, like, let's say someone is kind of going through that where they don't feel like they have anyone to support, if they do like search hashtag and go to all these, like, I've seen Mummy's Day Out events and stuff, they'll find other people that I guess they can relate a bit more with, because they're mums as well. So that's why that's one good thing about social media, the community. You can literally meet anyone, and it makes the world so much smaller, which can be good and bad, but it has its perks for sure.
So just to round off then,
what's the best thing about being a mom? Like, what's the one thing that you're just loving about being a mom?
It's literally watching my daughter grow from day to day. Like, I just look at her like, wow, like, what? Who birthed you? Like, when? Wow. What's going on here? So it's just amazing. Like, a new day will come. She's doing something new. She's saying something new. She's reacting in a different way. You're like, what? Huh?
Okay. Now, where did you learn this from?
Book. You want to finish all your books now? You want to read your books back to me because you've recited them now? It's just amazing just to see their growth from day to day. You think this was once a baby who was like laying on their back and just staring. And now words counting stairs on their own. No, I'm doing it. My turn. It is just fascinating.
Yeah, they've got like their own personality now.
Yeah.
I'm not ready. I'm not ready for the growth. I'm not ready. No, Lucas, man, he's just his own person. That's all it is. He's just his own person. So I just love, I find things funny. Like, we both literally just stand there. He'll just do something or say something. And it's just like what Matt said, I'm just looking at you like, seriously? Seriously. That's all I can say. Like, seriously. But oh. yeah, no, it's just been an amazing, like, he's not really that much trouble. I mean, yeah, his voice just went, but he's not that much trouble.
Yeah, a normal two-year-old boy.
A normal two-year-old boy. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Jen, I don't know if you have any more questions or anything else you want to add before we round off.
No, I think I've definitely learned a lot, and you know, there's always more to learn. And like you, I really like what you guys emphasized about, you know, everyone's journey is different, and how everyone takes to motherhood will always be different. And I think that's definitely reassured me in a sense, because I know that what's, you know, how it looks like for somebody else might not look like it for me. And I think having a platform like yours, a podcast like yours, is really great, because you don't just talk about the fluffy stuff. You talk these, and you know, maybe the some of the struggles that you guys have been through. And I think we definitely need a lot more platforms like that, especially with what's going on, you know, because, you know, we're all Black and Black women, and there is definitely that fear for myself. I would say, I can speak for myself, there's that fear of, okay, so I'm thinking about childbirth, how will that look like for me? Am I protected? Mm-hmm. Am I safe? Like, you know, those type of conversations, I think, is definitely needed. And like I said, having platforms like yourself, it's put me at ease, I would say. And I'll definitely be coming to you guys when the time comes.
Like, honestly. And even another thing I wanted to add, as well as that, Jen, is this whole snapback thing. Like, I feel like this whole snapback culture, and, you know, is so toxic, because we see all these, like, celebs and stuff, you know, snap back, but how do you know they haven't done surgery? They have surgery money, so they could have literally gone out of childbirth and gone to their surgery, and then they come on social media, snap back, one day postpartum, 1 hour postpartum, you know, that's how it's going to get
through. It's true, and I just feel
like, you know, that's why it's important to have platforms like yours, to just show us the reality, and to just show, you know, mothers that it's okay to not have snapped back even after a month, 3 months, 6 months. Like, your body has gone through probably one of the most difficult things. So
yeah,
keep it up. So where can we find you? Where can our followers find you? We want to make sure they're connecting with you.
Okay, so we are at Mama Drama Pod on Instagram, Mama Drama Pod on Twitter, Mama Drama Pod on YouTube. We're also on all streaming platforms. I love your YouTube, by the way. Thank you. Yeah, and Mama Drama Pod on all streaming platforms. Have I missed anything else?
Nah, girl, you got
I got it.
So subscribe, follow. Good stuff. Subscribe, and as you said, Sade, rate us 5 stars where you can.
Leave them a 5-star rating. You guys are on Apple Podcasts, right?
Okay,
I listen on Spotify and YouTube. Yeah, okay, so Apple Podcasts, please leave them a 5-star rating, follow, connect, you know, all of that good stuff. And if you love this episode, please leave us also a 5-star rating, follow us, share, and let's stay connected. And happy Mother's Day to all the mums and future mums as well. Thank you so much, ladies. You've learned so much. And honestly, I had a million more questions to ask. So hopefully
we'll come back, girl.
Yes, you got to do part two. And hopefully that time will be in person. I don't like the Zoom stuff. In person would be best. But thank you so much, ladies. All right.
Thank you.
See you next week, guys. Bye.
Bye.